I'd like to say good evening to everyone. I would like to welcome you to the May 2020 Nationwide Gospel Call. I'm Brother Horace Stroud, and I will be your facilitator and host for tonight. And we've come to the final night of May, where we have 20 days, 20 speakers, and 20 sermons for the month of May. I would like to extend an invitation for all those that are not members of the Church of Christ. You are our VIPs, are very important persons on tonight. And we also like to thank those that are members of the Church of Christ who are supporting this call. Tonight, I'm excited to introduce my friend, my co-laborer in the gospel at Highland Heights Church of Christ here in Houston, Texas. And that's my own friend, Brother Tommy Brooks, who will be speaking tonight. He's also the host of the Nationwide Call, but on tonight, he'll be our speaker on tonight. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come at this time thanking you for another opportunity that you've given to us to hear your word from your manservant. We ask tonight, dear Lord, that those on the call, each of us, will open up our hearts to those things that we hear that is found in your scripture. And dear Lord, you would help us to have an understanding of those things. And dear Lord, may we have the courage to render obedience to those things that we find in your truth. We thank you again for this opportunity to be on this call tonight. This prayer we offer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And so again, as I stated, my friend, my co-laborer, we're speaking from the subject, the truth about who goes to heaven. Brother Brooks.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. It's certainly a pleasure to work with you as well. And we're praying that everyone on the call has called in tonight to receive with meekness God's engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. As has been stated, that we have put this call on with those in mind who are not members of the Church of Christ. And we want you to know that in the Churches of Christ, we believe there are people like us who want to do it God's way. They want to make sure that when they die, they will go to heaven. And this book called the Bible gives those instructions. I believe that B-I-B-L-E could mean believer's instruction before life. A person must believe that this book is absolutely 100% right, and we do that in the Church of Christ. We've had a great month and a lot of great speakers, and I appreciate those men who've gone before me and their consistency in the speaking of the truth from the scripture. Tonight, I want to take your mind in another kind of a direction of a parent. I like for the mothers to think of terms of your child dying. I would like for the fathers to think in terms of your son dying, or the parents in thinking in terms of a child who died. There's a story of a man who was a bridge master. Him and his son, he had only one son. And they loved to be together, and they loved to do things together. And this man worked as a bridge master for the railroad. And his son and him would watch the trains together, and they would go by, passing by. And the people, they would think of the kind of people that would be on the train. And the father would tell him about the people, that some people on there would be angry people, selfish people, or people who are addicted to drugs, people who were doing a lot of sinful things. These people were drug addicts and alcoholics. Some were on there in pain and sick. A lot of different people on the train. This father made a tragic mistake, though. He raised the bridge up one day, and when the train was heading towards the bridge at full speed with all these different passengers on them, and the little boy saw that the train was coming. So he ran to the nearest manual of the bridge to drop it manually to lower it down so that the train could cross the bridge safely. However, unfortunately, the son accidentally, when trying to pull the lever, fell into the hole under the bridge and was trapped under the bridge, leaving the father in a terrible position to make a decision that would save all the people on the train, or a decision that his son would have to die. So he was thinking, as the train was nearing the bridge, the father made a decision that he would drop the train, the bridge, and the father pulled the lever, and at that very moment, the bridge crushed his son. His son is dead. I want that to be your child. Because of a decision of a father who made a decision that because of all these different people needed to be saved, he made a decision. Could you have made that decision to drop the bridge on your son? And when the people got off the train, they all smiled and walked on, and what life went on for them. But how many of them appreciated the fact that the father made such a decision to save them? See, tonight I want to talk about who's going to go to heaven. But there must be a perspective on why God put the rules in the Bible, the law as written. And so this lesson is to those who really want to go to heaven and come to the perspective that it's not about us. It's not about how I want to go or how I think I should go. It's about the father who pulled the lever on the son. And the son said in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, he says, not everyone that said to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. I want you to pay close attention because you call yourself a Christian, one who believes in Jesus. These are people who are believers. These are not Muslims or Buddhists, people who don't believe in Jesus Christ. These are people who actually believe in Jesus as their Lord. And Jesus says, not every one of them that said to me, Lord, Lord, enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Is there a Father there? This is the emphasis I want to put on tonight. About who's going to heaven? It's about the Father who pulled the lever. He says, the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Notice this. There's a category of people called many. Many, Jesus says this. Many will say to me, to their Lord, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in that name? And in that name have cast out devils, and in that name done many wonderful works? These were good people who believed in Jesus as their Lord. But Jesus then, in turn, in verse 23, his reply to those people, and I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Oh, what a shock this is going to be. People who think they're going to go to heaven, going to stand before Jesus, he's going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. You made your own law. You walked off the train as if the Father did nothing. And people decide they want to go to his house, to the Father's house. But they forgot the Father made a sacrifice. So let's ask this question to Jesus if we just bring him to the table, to the room tonight on the phone. Father, let's talk to the Lord. Let's talk to Jesus as if he's on the phone speaking to us. So we got to ask him a question. So I want to go to heaven. So what is my question to Jesus? Jesus, what is your Father's will? The response would come from John chapter 7, verse 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine, underline that, my doctrine is not mine, but he is that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know, K-O-N-O-W, there's knowledge required. He must know of the doctrine, which it be, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So I would got to ask Jesus, now, if I got to know of a doctrine and I got to have knowledge, what doctrine must I know? Then if we believe all the answers are going to come from the scripture, then the New Testament is called the doctrine of Christ or the apostle of Christ. So anytime I read something from the New Testament, that's the doctrine of Christ. Now, what doctrine must we know? It's found in 2 John verse 9. Bible says, whosoever transgresseth abideth not in T-H-E. There's one definite article. The doctrine of Christ, one. Have not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he had both. Notice who he got, the Father and the Son. Everybody wants Jesus, but they forgot who pulled the lever. He said, there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. Receive him not into your house, neither be it him Godspeed. So what doctrine must we know? It's called the doctrine of Christ. Whatever Christ said, do. Whatever the Son of that Father said, do in the New Testament, that's the teachings or the doctrine of the Son. We drop the bridge on. So how do I know? These people call them Lord. So is there a doctrine I must avoid? Yes. Go back to Jesus and ask him again. Matthew 15:8. He said, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth. There they are. These Lord, Lord people. He honor me with their lips. He said, but their heart is far from me. When I was growing up, and I grew up in among the Baptist belief, all my family Baptist people, they're good people, good people, something that we, some things we just didn't know. All my, I don't want you to ever talk about my family. I can do that, but you, because we were all Baptist. And we would say, you know, they would tell us that, you know, we receive Jesus in our heart and we hit on our chest as this blood pump. I know Jesus, know my heart, my blood pump. We would pump on our chest. We didn't know no better. What heart is he talking about here? He said, their heart is far from me. Then verse 9, he said, here's what happens. They worship me in vain. What are they doing, Jesus? They teaching for doctrine. This time they got an S on it, more than one. The commandments of men. So if we can identify what heart is Jesus speaking of here. In Matthew 15:18, he said, those things which proceed out of the mouth coming forth from the heart, they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed thoughts. It's in your mind where knowledge is stored. The heart is the mind. When you receive with meekness God's word, it goes into your heart. That's where knowledge is stored. So what are they learning? They're learning something that men are teaching them, and they're going against what Jesus is teaching them. The proverb writer said, Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart. It's where we think at, brothers, sisters, and friends. Most people don't know the basics of the Bible. That's why this we are hosting a gospel meeting in a very simple way, because many people don't know the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s of the Bible. They pump on their head, on their chest, calling that the heart. That's not what God is talking about. You got to learn what God wants you to do in order to go to heaven. What did these poor souls not know? These people, they're going to be shocked. It's going to be some of our friends and family who call themselves Christians today. Good people did wonderful works in the name of Jesus. And they're going to be shocked on the day of judgment when Jesus said, I didn't know you. I never knew you. What was the problem? They were not keeping or obeying the teaching of the son that the father pulled the lever on. Y'all remember that story, remember? What caused them to worship Jesus in vain? They were following the teachings of men, plural. So all you got to do to find out if you're going to heaven tonight, is you compare, are you doing what Christ said, or are you doing what men say do? I'm going to just try to make it real simple for you. The Bible says this, that Jesus said, if we compare doctrines of men to doctrine of Christ, I'll give you a few examples. For example, you may call your priest father. What Jesus said in Matthew 23:7-9, call no man father. He says, call no man father, for ye all brethren. In the church of Christ, because we want to go to heaven, we'll never refer to our preachers as reverend or father or anything other than brother. Those who follow the doctrine of Christ will call their preacher brother. Highlight why preacher called me Brother Brooks. No reverend, no father. Why? We don't want to do nothing that come from men. We're warned about flattering titles in Job 32:21-22. And the doctrine of Christ teaches in Mark 16:15 about salvation. It says, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what Jesus said. Man says, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You don't have to be baptized. If you're in a church or you're under that type of teaching, you're not going to go to heaven. You got to do it the way Jesus said do it. Another example, such as Franklin Graham is pasting all over national Tv in a 60-second commercial. All you got to do to be saved, accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Pray this prayer, and you're saved. That's not in the Bible. That's Franklin Graham saying that. That came from his daddy and others who said that. What did Jesus say in John 9:31? The Bible says, "For the blind man that Jesus healed said, this we know God heareth not sinners. John 9:31, my friends. Isaiah 59:1-2, Bible says, behold, the Lord's hands are not shortened that he cannot save, neither is ear heavy that he cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sin, listen carefully now, have hid his face from you that he will not hear, not that he cannot, he will not, because you know what? He don't know. You have no relationship with him. What's between, if you draw on your piece of paper tonight, draw sin between you and God, there's a way to remove that so that he can hear. I'm going to show you that here in just a minute. Then he says, if another doctrine of Christ, Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, up on this rock, I will build my church. Now, Jesus said, my church, which the church belongs to him. In Romans 16:16, Paul said, salute one another, a holy kiss, the churches of Christ salute you. See, the church belongs to Christ. It don't belong to some man. So how did Mount Zion become a church? How did John the Baptist get a church? Where did Methodists come from? Where did the Catholics come from? Well, these churches are not in the scripture. They came from men, you all. This is the sad commentary. We have to say these are wonderful people. These are believers. They believe in Jesus as their Lord. But there's a mistake. They're workers of iniquity. What they're doing, they're making up their own rules, their own laws. Well, you got the men in there who say any church would do. Jesus said, my church. In Luke 13:23, somebody came just straight forward and asked Jesus. In Luke 13:23, this young man came to him. He said, the Lord said unto him, Lord, and then he said unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter into the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, there you are. These are believers. They believed, but belief wasn't enough. And that's what the people are telling. Just believe in Jesus. That's not, these people were believers. Can y'all see this? It's in red. If you got the red letter edition, It's Jesus saying this. The one who hung on the cross, who we call our Lord and Savior, he's saying there are going to be people there that day calling on him as Lord, saying, open up. He said, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in our prison, they have taught in our streets. But you shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of it, made up your own law. See, the problem here is there's two ways that we're going to go. Jesus said it like this in back in Matthew 7, again in verse 13. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will go that way. He said, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be found. The thing about it is, the category that's going to go to heaven will be few. When someone says to Brother Brooks, it seems like there's only a few of you all in the churches of Christ. I said, well, we're the largest true church in the world. We're the mega church. Mega true church of the world. The mega true church is not made up of many. It's made up of the few. Why? Because we're straight and narrow to what Jesus said do. Few will find it. Find what? The few who seek truth will find truth. John 4:23, Jesus said, the hour coming and now is when the true worshipers shall worship. Notice who they worship. The Father in spirit and in truth. Watch who seek it. For the Father seeketh such. See, the one who pulled the lever on the Son is seeking those who are seeking to be true worship. What are they going to be true to? What his Son said do, the Father's will. See, the Father that gave his only Son, the world has forgotten about it. Everybody forgot about the Father. Do all of us realize that it was the Father who spoke at Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17? When Jesus got baptized? He said, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Have we forgotten the Father that's referred to in Matthew chapter 17 in the mountain of transfiguration, where the Bible says in verse 1, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringing them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. And then Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make three tabernacles or three churches. Tabernacle, place of worship. Peter says, good. Let's do one for Moses. Let's do one for Elias. In today's term, it'll be the church of Moses, the church of Elias, and the church of Christ. Three places of worship. But I want you to notice something here. Before Peter could get all that out of his mouth, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And here comes this forgotten voice, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Here's what he said, hear ye him. What I'm suggesting tonight is the reason many won't go to heaven is because they forgot the Father real world, that you do what's written and what his Son taught his apostles, which is written in the New Testament. The Father wants us to do exactly what he would do, because he gave his Son to save all of us on the train. Some drug addicts, some prostitutes, some adulterers, some fornicators, some liars, some cheaters. All of us on the train, y'all. Every one of us on the train. And there was a Father who had one Son who loved all of us. And he pulled the lever. And he said, you want to come to my house and have dinner with me and supper with me? You have to do what my Son said to do, because he died for you. His Son said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men. Before that, this Father came out. He says, Jesus said in John 12:28, he says, Father, glorify that name. Then there came a voice from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Jesus said, this voice didn't come for me. It came not because of me, but for you. And then he says, if I be lifted up, I draw men. And this, he says, signifying what death he would have to hang. And this is where we come in. Those who go to heaven will love God, the Father, who gave his Son. And his Son then came into the world, lived among men. He knew no sin. Healed the blind, the sick, and he gave sight to the blind. He was there, feeding hungry. He did crooks. But then he, in the last 24 hours of his life, he had his last meal with his disciples. He told them he was troubled. Went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed. He prayed to that Father. He said, let this cup pass. He knew he had to die for us. But yet, the Hebrew writer said, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered, being made perfect. He became the author of eternal salvation to all of them to obey him. See, it was in the garden where he obeyed the Father's will to go to the cross for us. He left that garden. Judas betrayed him. He went to a trial before Annas. He went to a trial before Caiaphas. He was in prison at Caiaphas Palace. He went to before the Jewish elders, and including the high priest, scribes, and the whole Sanhedrin court, all trials at night, illegal. He went before the Roman governor Pilate. Then he went back before Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas sent him back to Pilate. Pilate then whips this son, God's child, with a whip. He scourged him. Americans don't know nothing about scourging. We have to tell y'all that a scourging is when they take a whip and they strip them naked, and the whip will have metal bones and fragments of inner, and they beat this our father's son, and they tied him to that pole, and they scourged him. That's why the Isaiah said, by his stripes are we healed, because from those stripes came the blood of Jesus. Then he took him. They spit on him. And think about it now, parents. Your child, they're spitting on him. They're slapping him. They hit him. They buffing him. I mean, they hit him with a punch fist. And then they put a crown of thorns on your child's head. They lead him up to an execution site called Golgotha, or the Calvary, or the place of the skull. And there the soldiers would drive the nails in an innocent man's hand for guilty people who was on the train. That's us. He drove the nails in his hands, and they drove the nails in his feet, you all, and we want to go to heaven. Don't you think if you were the parent and we didn't do what we told you to do, God put the law in the book called the Bible, the instructions for what we must do, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture given by the inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And what I'm saying tonight, those who go into heaven are those who do what the Bible said do. And so in the churches of Christ, this is what we're trying to do. We're preaching that old story, how Christ suffered on the cross, you all. His son didn't just hang there. He didn't just die of natural causes. He was executed by crucifixion. They executed him. He was a death row inmate. He was treated like a death row. And this was this father's child, his only son. And they put him up there before the people, and they mocked him. And he had to hang 6 hours on that cross. It's written in this book called the Bible. My friends, what if it was your son on that cross? They took him down off the cross and buried him in a borrowed tomb. And he resurrected on Sunday morning. That's why we worship on Sunday, first day of the week. And he got up with a command. Here's what you do to be saved. Matthew 28:18. He said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15 said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what we're teaching. The people to be saved must believe this preaching of the cross. Without the preaching of the cross, he was not lifted up. We have to lift him up. You have to see God's only son on that cross suffering to save your soul. And then you will have a grand appreciation. You will love the Father and you'll love the Son, because it was the Son who said, greater love had no man than this, that lay down his life. Friend, you would love him. You would want to do. What do you want me to do? He said, you believe, then get baptized. Okay, I believe. I get baptized. Then the Bible said baptism for remission of sins, Acts 2:38. That's when you contact the blood of Jesus, Revelation 1:5. Revelation 1:5 tells us the blood will wash away our sins. When did the blood wash away our sins? Ananias told Saul, Acts 22:16, Saul was praying the sinner's prayer, but it didn't work. Ananias told him, arise, get up, stop praying. Why tarries? What are you waiting on? Do what Jesus told you to do. Arise, be baptized. Notice this, wash away your sins. It's in baptism when your sins are washed away. Then he says, calling, there come prayer power. Prayer power don't come till the sins have been washed away. Then he hear your prayer. Then you can call him Abba, Father, because you now have a brother who is Jesus, your elder brother. We're children of God, who is the Father. And Jesus said to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me and my Father's house. See, we are men and men. See, we want to go to the Father. Here's what I'm suggesting. Those who go to heaven will be those who respect the Father who gave his only son and follow the guidelines of the Son that the Son gave the apostles. It's in the New Testament. So if you visit the Church of Christ, we have no instrumental music because Jesus never taught us to use it. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday because we were commanded. He said, this you do and remember. We give. We take a collection. We preach. Men preach, not women, because the Bible said women ought to be silent. In the Church of Christ, we do those things. We believe that we don't have no manuals, no creeds, no catechism, no Baptist manual, no Methodist discipline, no nothing on the wall telling us to do anything men say, because we're going to do exactly what this son said. I will close with this. Wouldn't you, though? Wouldn't you do it? You dropped the bridge on the Father, Jesus. He gave his son, and he gave him on the cross. And they gave us the instructions what to do to be saved. What do you got to do, brother? Hear the gospel, number one, Acts 15:7. Hear and believe. Why you got to believe? This book is for believers. If you believe it, you'll do it. Hebrews 11:6, thy faith is impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe. Number three, you must repent. You got to say, you know, Brother Brooks, I don't take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. I'm not in the church called the Church of Christ. Well, then you got to change your mind because you're surely going to die. Jesus said in John 8:21, if you die in your sins, where I am, you can't come. You need to go get baptized tonight. Get your sins washed away. Then the Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible. The only one you can read about. It's the church of the Son. The church of Christ. You make a confession that you believe that Jesus Christ, Son of God, will baptize you, put you in the church. And who's going to go to heaven? Those who obey the Son. My question is you. Would you be any different if it was your child? That was how I opened up this lesson. If you're on the call tonight, I spoke the truth in love. And we want you to know tonight that we want to go to heaven. That's why we take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. Why aren't you taking it every Sunday? Don't you think you should be doing what the Son said? I pray my lesson has reached your heart. You received it with me. This time I turn the call back over to Sultan.
Thank you, Brother Brooks. Thank you for that lesson for this evening. The truth about who goes to heaven. As Brother Brooks has proclaimed, it is easy. This gospel message is easy to obey. We know you've heard the gospel. Brother Brooks has declared what Jesus did on the cross. He talked about the grave being empty. He talked about the one church that Jesus built. You need to believe that message. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess Jesus as Lord. You need to be baptized in the water grave of baptism. Then the Father will add you to the church. Thank you, Brother Brooks, for that message on this. We appreciate your wherewithal to put this call on. We appreciate the 20 years you have put in making this call possible. And we appreciate all the effort you have put in, those who work with you to make this gospel meeting call come to fruition. For those of you who are not members of the Church of Christ, you may have questions about anything that Brother Brooks has said. We ask that if you have any questions, please contact Brother Brooks. Brother Brooks can be reached at area code 281-750-2702. If you know of someone who missed the call this evening, all of these messages are archived at HighlandHeightsCoc.net. If you want to hear any of the previous 20 speakers who have come before this message this evening and every other speaker who has been on this call for the last 20 years, all of these calls are archived at HighlandHeightsCoc.net. We also ask that if you want to be baptized or request a Bible study, contact us either at Brother Brooks's phone number or you can email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Again, if you want to leave a word of encouragement, if you want to share with us any questions that you have, if you want to share with us some Bible studies that are taking place, or if you know of someone who's been baptized, let us know. Again, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. As we mentioned earlier and as we've mentioned for the past 2 weeks, this call will not end on this evening. We will be going into the month of June. This gospel meeting call will continue for the month of June. On this coming Monday, on June the 1st, Brother Don Blackwell will be speaking from the topic, The Truth About the Thief on the Cross. Then on June the 2nd, Brother Brian Davis from Round Rock, Texas, will be speaking from the topic, The Truth About the One Baptism. On June the 3rd, Brother Monty Smith will be speaking from the topic, The Truth About Calling on the Name of the Lord. On June the 4th, Brother Eddie Sanders from Murfreesboro, Tennessee, will be speaking from the topic, The Truth About Once Saved, Always Saved. And on June the 5th, closing out the first of our June gospel meeting call, will be Brother Aaron Gallagher speaking from the topic, The Truth About What One Must Do to Be Saved. If you've enjoyed this call the last 20 days, stay with us for the month of June. At this time, I'm going to direct you over to Brother Horace Stroud, who will give us our closing prayer. Brother Stroud.
Thank you, Brother Flounder. Let us go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear most gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we come at this time thanking you for what our ears have heard and what our hearts are made to believe. We come especially thanking you for your manservant on tonight who preached your word. And at this time, dear Lord, we pray for those, our VIPs, on the call tonight. We ask, dear Lord, that they have opened their hearts to those things that Brother Brooks taught regarding the truth about who goes to heaven. And dear Lord, that they have gotten an understanding and they will render obedience, become baptized and added to the Church of Christ. We thank you again for this opportunity tonight. We thank you for all that are on the call tonight supporting this gospel call. Dear Lord, we ask that you will allow our hearts to prepare to worship you on Sunday and then pick up with the gospel call on Monday night. This prayer we offer in your Son Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Stroud. Thanks again to everyone who was called in this evening. We'll see you again on this Monday with Brother Don Blackwell speaking the first sermon for the month of June. I ask that you have a good night's rest. Thank you for calling the Nationwide Gospel Call. To God be the glory.